write the letter. That we might have an understanding of the length and the breadth and the width and the depth and the height of the love of God that surpasses our natural knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. We need a revelation of Jesus to that extent where we're filled with the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, do your work. Holy Spirit, we give you freedom, liberty, and access to our lives to do what you were sent to do, to reveal Jesus to us, to speak of him, to open our eyes to him, that Christ will be formed in us, that we'd walk and live and be the living epistles of our Lord Jesus. That's our prayer today, Lord. As we go into your word today, Lord God, reveal Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit. Reveal Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, in a new, a fresh, a living way, that we would be filled to overflowing with the knowledge and the joy of our God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks, team. That was beautiful. Sometimes I think we forget that we need an encounter with Jesus constantly. We really do. Today has been a day of an encounter with Jesus. And the thing that absolutely amazes me is that nobody here has any clue on what I was talking, going to actually express or share with you today. But sometimes I think we look at ourselves in a light that is too much in the natural. Who am I? What can I do? Have I got the capacity? Does God really love me? And I think some of us have an understanding that God does love us, but not that total, enveloping, overwhelming spiritual knowledge of God that Paul wanted us to have when he prayed that prayer, that we would have a comprehension of the width and length and breadth, the unending, amazing, it's just so saturating, inexhaustible love of Christ that passes any natural knowledge. And sometimes it's too much of natural knowledge and not enough of the knowledge of God. I really believe that God's saying to us today, I want to reveal Jesus to my people. And this is why Jesus came. More than that, this is why he sent the Holy Spirit. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will not speak of himself, he'll speak of me. He's going to talk about me. He's going to reveal me to you. He will take what the Father has given to me and reveal it to you. And wow, we need that more and more and more and more and more. Everything we've done this morning has been talking about Jesus, revealing Jesus. And over this next 2 weeks, next week I'll continue, but this week I want to look at a couple of instances in the Word where Jesus was revealed to people and met with people. Now let's go to the Gospel of John. If you've got a Bible with you, go to the Gospel of John. If you haven't got a Bible, put your hand up, we'll find you one. Anyone need a Bible? Can someone get some Bibles, please? If we've got a spare couple of Bibles around. If they are free and spare Bibles, you're welcome to keep them. I'm sure we've got a few lying around and we would love you to have your own Bible. So, Gospel of John, and in chapter 3, There's a first one I want to bring to you is a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the Harvard scholar of Israel theology or Jewish theology. This guy knew it. This guy was quite affluent within society. This guy was not only, he was influential, he was one of their major leaders. And it's interesting that this guy, who was probably one of the most looked up to and respected leaders in the region, in verse 2, he came to Jesus by night. That's interesting. I think his status in society was such that he thought, I can't really be seen to be going and talking to this Jesus guy. He's a bit controversial. Maybe it could influence people's thoughts of me. I just better be careful. I'll go to Jesus by night. So he, under the cover of darkness, moves around and finds Jesus. And then he comes to Jesus with this attitude, I suppose. It's an attitude. And he says to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. We know. This guy had a background of pretty much intense knowledge. He knew. He was a theologian's theologian. He knew. He says, no one can do what you're doing except you come from God. We know. And he had this attitude of what he knew was right, and therefore he had come to the conclusions that something's right here, and we know. Problem was, what he knew was between the ears and not in the heart. And Jesus didn't even enter into his level of rapport and conversation. And he just says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Talk about knock your feet out from under you when you think you are it in a bit and you know. And Jesus comes and says, you don't know nothing. If you haven't been born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. All of his theological training and his Harvard degrees and everything that he had that could give him the status that he had in Israel was just shot to pieces. And Jesus goes, if you ain't born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus turns and says, what? How can that happen? How can I be born when I'm old? And how can I re-enter my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, except you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter or be part of or see the kingdom of God. The things that are born of flesh are just flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus says to him in verse 9, how can these things be? And again, Jesus takes the wind right out of his theological sails and says, are you a master, leader, teacher in Israel, and you don't understand these things, or you don't know these things? Wow. Nicodemus was probably a little bit comfortable in his situation, and all of a sudden he's confronted with a reality of truth that he had never ever encountered in all of his theological studies and all of his degrees and whatever he had. He is suddenly confronted with real truth. You've got to be born again. And then he's told, you have been a student of God's word and you don't know? Now, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And sometimes people can be students of things and not really know the spirit of what's behind things. Sometimes people hear, I suppose in the natural sense, but don't get the spirit or the flow of what the word of God is all about, or what a preacher's saying, or what's happening. And we really got to get beyond the natural, where Jesus says the things that are born of flesh remain flesh. But the things that are born of the Spirit remain spirit. Flesh is temporal. Spiritual or spirit is eternal. And what he was saying is, don't get caught up in things that are temporal. Get into the reality of things that are eternal. This encounter was one where Jesus didn't really have a rapport with the guy in such a way that was, I suppose, plausible, but he wanted to meet him where he was at. And he did. And Nicodemus, we hear nothing more of him until the burial of Jesus, when Joseph of Arimathea came and begged for the body of Jesus to put him in a tomb. And also Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, went with him. Woo-hoo! I don't know what happened to Nicodemus in that in-between period, but he obviously got to know Jesus. And he was there to be part of his burial. And I would imagine also part of his resurrection. He got to understand there was more to it than his natural understandings, and he went in and followed. And he was there when Joseph buried the body of Jesus in the tomb, and Nicodemus was there. That's the next we hear of him. There was a change somewhere. I want to go to the next chapter, in chapter 4 of John. And starting just at verse 3, Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Old English, or if it's in your Bible, it says he felt the need to go through Samaria. He says, oh, I can go there that way. I can take the high road or the low road, but I think I'll take that road because I've got to go through Samaria. And so, knowing that he had to go through Samaria, off he went, and he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, being weary on his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, you've got to remember that Jesus' disciples at this stage had gone into the city to buy food. They had moved away from Jesus, and if you follow the story through, he's there pretty well on his own. This is a God encounter. This is a meeting with Jesus. This is an encounter with Jesus. Nicodemus had a one encounter with Jesus. It was by stealth at night. This is the middle of the day. The sixth hour, when you talk about in the realms of their timing, was about the heat of the day, the middle of the day. And here's Jesus at this well, sitting there, and there's an encounter, not with a man, but with a woman. And this woman comes to draw water, and Jesus said to her, could you give me a drink, please? Doesn't say that in the Bible, but I don't think Jesus was, woman, give me a drink. I think he's a little more polite than that. For his disciples had gone away, that's what I just mentioned. And the woman said, how is it that you, being a Jew, are asking a drink of me? I'm a woman of Samaria, and the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now you've got to remember, the Samaritans were the outcasts, the half-castes. They were people that had intermarried, and Jews that had married other people in other nations, and they were banished because they were corrupted bloodlines. They weren't the pure Jewish bloodline, so they were on the other side of the tracks, and they didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said, so you got nothing to draw with. The well is deep. How are you going to give me living water? Here's another parallel back similar to Nicodemus. That which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit. And she has got a one-tracked mentality in the flesh line of things. Hey, hang on. You've asked me for a drink. You're telling me I should ask you for a drink. I've got the pots and the thing. How could I ask you for a drink? You've got nothing to draw water with. You've got nothing to provide the water with. You're off track a bit here, sir. And she was quite polite about it. And then Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He gets the natural side up and he says, this water in this well is temporal. You'll drink of it and you'll quench your thirst, but it'll repeat, it'll come back. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you will never thirst, and the water I will give will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, give me this water that I thirst not, neither do I have to come here to draw. The whole scenario here is interesting because in the middle of the day, very few people went and drew water out of a well because it was the hottest part of the day. They did it usually in the morning or in the evening. If you read every other instance in the scriptures where people were drawing water from wells, and in the cool of the evening or in the morning, they drew their water from the wells because they didn't want to be out there slaving away, pulling water up out of a well. Why did this woman come out in the middle of the day? Why was she there at a time when no one else is around? Why was she on her own even? Because every other instance of drawing water, there was usually a group. They did it together. They went and helped each other. She comes on her own. The clue to that is to go on a little further here. And Jesus answered her after she asked for the water and said, go call your husband and come here. The woman says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you're telling the truth, girl, that you have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with at the moment is not your husband, so you have spoken truly. The woman says, whoa, hang on. I perceive that you're a prophet. She's got this spiritual insight there a little bit and starts to talk to him about things. Let's continue on and read this whole story. And she talks about how their fathers worshipped in the mountain, and you say Jerusalem is where we should worship. And Jesus said, woman, that's natural. This is spiritual. The time's coming when you will neither on this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you really don't know. And we know who we worship, for salvation has been revealed to the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I know Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, the one that's speaking to you now is he. Or he says in the actual King James, he says, I am, which is the godly name revealed to the Jews. The disciples came and saw them talking and got a little bit agitated because... what's going on here, Jesus? You're talking to a woman, and not only a woman, a Samaritan woman. They get their Jewish knickers in a knot. And we're a little bit put out, I suppose. But the woman, notice this, leaves her water pot, runs into the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. And meanwhile, the disciples were begging him to eat, and he says, I have meat that you don't know of. And of course, there again, the natural versus the spiritual. Hang on, as someone brought him something to eat. And Jesus said, my sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You talking in the natural all the time, but there is a time in the spirit when we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to have our spiritual timing senses in action is what he's saying here. And he says, don't get caught up just in the natural. And in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, saying of the woman which testified, he told me all I ever did. And they, verse 40, besought him or begged him to tarry with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Man, there's so much in this, and I'm hoping we can get through this fairly quickly. But let's have a look at the story. Firstly, This woman comes out to the well in the middle of the day. I would suggest simply because she'd been a woman of some reputation. Not like Nicodemus, she had the opposite end of the scale. She'd been married 5 times. So she had a bit of a reputation. Not only had she been married 5 times, she's no longer with her 5th husband, she's got another guy. And she's living with him. So she's been around the traps a little bit. And I would guess that's one of the reasons she wasn't with the ladies when they came to draw water in the morning and the evening. I think she was a bit of an outcast. And looking at this, it would suggest that quite clearly. She comes out on her own to draw water, and she's thinking, oh, well, I'll do this when there's no one else around because they don't want anything to do with me. And she gets there and she meets with Jesus. What fascinates me with this is that Jesus talks to her about natural water and equates it to spiritual water almost straight away. Brings the conversation from natural things to spiritual things almost instantly. And she starts to have a rapport with him and talk with him on things. And he talks about not only the water of life that he can give, but then he talks to her about, he says, he puts her right on the spot. He says, go get your husband. He knew where she was at. He knew her life. He knew where she was coming from. He knew everything about her. And he says, get your husband, because he knew that this would bring about a point of conversation where he wanted to speak to her. No husband, man. It's true. You're living with someone and he's not your husband. But do you know Jesus dealt with her sin problem without condemning her? Did you notice that? Did you notice he just said, hey, there's a solution. I know you've done that. I know you've done this, but I've got the water of life. You've been looking at the natural. This water that you're drinking of will cause you to thirst again and again and again and again. And he knew she'd had 5 husbands, and somewhere along the line, each situation had caused her to yearn for more in her life because the first guy probably, you know, didn't meet her needs, or she wasn't happy with him. The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. She was drinking of natural water and thirsting again and thirsting again. And she's thinking, flag this marriage thing. I'll go shack up with someone. And she's constantly looking for satisfaction and craving fulfillment in her life, and she's not finding it. And so Jesus meets with this woman and says, I will give you water that will cause you not to thirst again. And she's gone, give me this water, I'm sick of drawing from this well. And he's going, no, you haven't quite got the picture yet. So she has a rapport with Jesus at a point where her deepest needs are being addressed without any condemnation, without any pointing of the finger, without any dragging her through the mud, just saying, hey woman, there's water of life available to satisfy every need. Well, finally, this woman, the penny drops. She leaves the water pot, runs in the city and says to everyone, I met a man. Imagine a woman who's had 5 husbands and lived with someone else comes in and says, I've met a man. Not another one. But this time she has a message. And she says, he told me all I ever did. And she's excited because this guy has met with her, has not condemned her, has not put her down, has not recognized her as trash or whatever, has not pointed out her sin in such a way that would bring her undone, has simply brought her to the water of life and said, I want to meet your every need. So she's gone into town. She's telling everybody and they come out. What? Who? Where? How? You got to meet this guy. She evangelized straight away. She had an encounter with Jesus. And she had a taste of the water of life. And man, she was effective immediately in her region, reaching others for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That is quite incredible. I think that to me is just a picture-perfect pattern of what we should be like when we meet with Jesus. And Jesus meets with us firstly and foremostly. He had to go via Samaria. He knew there was an encounter that he had to be involved in. He knew there was someone there that needed him. And so he did that, and he arranged this meeting in a situation where his disciples had gone to buy food. This woman's banished from being a socialite in town. She's on her own. He's on her own. And he says, this is the only way I can have an encounter with this person. And that's quite amazing. With Nicodemus, it was a by night thing. You notice with so many others, it was always in scenarios and situations where the most effective method of Jesus meeting with people could be brought to being. The guy at the pool of Siloam, other people in the street, people in the crowds, Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. The little guy, what was his name? Was up the tree? Zacchaeus, yeah, lost his name. Zacchaeus wanted to meet with Jesus, and he climbs a tree, goes, I'm going to watch him go by. I'm just going to see this Jesus everyone's talking about. And he's up there perched on a branch, and Jesus stops under the tree and says, hey, little fella, come down. I'm coming to your place for tea. There was encounters everywhere with Jesus. And this is what God's been doing with us today. We need an encounter with Jesus. And then when Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I shall give, it shall be a spring of life welling up within you. And springs don't run dry. Springs usually continually bubble out with the water of life that they've got, with the water that they've got. And Jesus is saying to us, if you drink of me, and it's not a one-time drink. It's an interesting scenario here, because in the Greek, there are words that were specific past tense words. There were words that were specific future tense words. But there were words that were put there that were perpetual tense forever and ever. He says, I want you to drink, 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 and drink of me. It was something we could do continually. Knowing Jesus and just getting hold of him, having him revealed to us in our lives, and knowing that his love for us, like Paul said, is just so vast that you might be filled with the fullness of God, that everything he's got for you can be yours eternally. Boy, I got the most intense little girl looking at me here, smiling at me. I tell you what, kid. You're going to pay more attention than anyone. She's incredible. She's just looking at me. She has not taken her eyes off me and just looking and taking it all in, aren't you? She's drinking of the water of life. And so this is Jesus meeting us where we're at, totally saying, I want to meet your every need. I want to be your sufficiency. I want to be your all in all. You take the drink. You drink whenever you feel you need to. You fill yourself full of me. You get to know me, and it will be in you springing up like a perpetual river of or well of life. And Jesus said, if you drink of the water, I shall give you. In another scripture in John 7, he says, out of your belly, out of an innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. I wonder if the flow in our lives is what it should be. I wonder if Jesus is the focus that he should be in our lives, if we're drinking of him. You know, Nicodemus had a drama problem because it was all in his theological background. A couple of people I've met in my life over the past years. One guy was in a church and he came to me and all he talked about was the pastor. Oh, he did this and he did that and he did something else and he did this and oh, you should have seen what he did last and he and the Sunday before that he this and I said, this guy, is God in that church? How come you never talk about God? Your hero's your pastor. Where's God? And it was a real wake-up call to him in a way. I was getting frustrated. It was driving me nuts because honestly, all I didn't want to hear about this guy's exploits. I wanted to hear about Jesus. And I had another guy once come to me and he talked about his church. Oh, we got this program and our church is this and our church is doing that. And we're doing this on this night. And everything was church orientated. And I said to him, I said the same thing. I said, is God doing anything in that place? Or is it all the church and the church's programs? Because you've never once mentioned anything God's doing. Your focus is wrong. A bit like the Nicodemus, I think. And what we've got to understand and realize is that we were to come to Jesus. We're not coming to a church. We're not coming to a pastor. We're coming to meet with the King of all glory. We're coming to have an encounter with him. And he says, if you drink, you can drink freely. And not only that, I don't have to wait until you're perfect. Have a look at the woman at the well. And he says, you can ask me for a drink, girl, I'll meet your needs. The sin will take care of itself later on. The situation you're in is not my problem to deal with now. I just want to meet your need. I just want you to know how much I love you, how much I can provide for, how much I can give you, how much my life in yours would enhance your life to be what you need to be and have all the satisfaction and fulfillment you're looking for. Wow. Wow. I think that's so amazing. And it says, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It doesn't say what the vessel had to be like. It doesn't say once you're perfect, I will allow you to let this water trickle out a little bit. Once you've got rid of your sin, I will make sure that you are then good enough to show the world who I am. Nah, this woman didn't have to wait 2 seconds. Boy, she never even went to theological college. If she did, it was in the desert between the well and the city. She went straight from meeting Jesus to sharing him with others and allowing the water to flow out and spring up out of her life. She was excited because she'd had an encounter with Jesus. And I believe, like, we're looking at this study on midweeks at the moment where it's drawing near to God. And the Holy Spirit's purpose and intent has been made so real to us that have done it. This series has been an eye-opening revelation of how God uses the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us and bring us to be what Jesus wants us to be, but not only that, to allow his life to be what he wants it to be in us. Wow, it's exciting. It's very, very vibrant. It's very real. But we first have to have an encounter with Jesus, and then we need to continually drink. Amen? If you drink of the water that I shall give, it shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. Man, that's the satisfaction every man, woman, and child is looking for on this planet. And without Jesus, it cannot be found. Because things that are fleshly satisfaction don't last. If that was the case, you could have the best steak and veg meal today and think, man, that is incredible. I don't need another one as long as I live. You see what happens when you wake up tomorrow. I am hungry. Natural things do not last. And we take natural things so often to be the answer for our soul satisfaction. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. Nothing out there. This water will cause you to thirst again. This experience will cause you to thirst again. Everything in the natural will cause you to thirst again. But I'll give you satisfaction beyond your wildest dreams. And not only that, I'll make it a well springing up into everlasting life. A well is a resource for us. A well is something we can tap into constantly. A well is an area of our life that God says, my life in yours will cause my life to permeate yours in such a way that you're fulfilled. Wow. But then Paul's prayer was in being filled with the fullness of God came into fruition in a later chapter of John, in John chapter 7. Verse 38. And if you can find that quickly, John chapter 7, verse 38, just a few chapters over. Whoa, gone too far. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, in verse 37, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, the way the scriptures define and say. That's incredible. Out of his belly, his innermost being, out of his inner life will flow rivers of living water. A river is not just something we have a resource for. A river that flows touches others. It does. Whenever there's a well in the land, if you've got a well on your property, that's your water. You can go and if you've got a bore, that's yours. But you've got a river flowing through your land, man. That river doesn't stop. It might start on your land and in your life, but that river waters the whole region. That river provides life to a land that is thirsty and dry and for the animals and the fish and for everyone else that can tap into the life that's in that river. And we need to be rivers of life into our own homes, into our families, into our society, into our workplace, wherever we are. If we've had an encounter with the Lord Jesus and we're drinking of him, firstly and foremostly, our level of satisfaction is met. Our life is a life permeated by God. But then if we're filled with the fullness of God, once we get to know Jesus, man, we can take it from natural levels of conversation and quickly turn it around into a spiritual level. Man, today was such a bad day. Well, it started off that way for me, but you know something? I found a source of life that turned my bad day into a good day. So I've got a resource that is just so unending. Yeah? What could that be? I've had an encounter with Jesus. I've met a man that told me all I've ever done. Isn't this the Christ? Isn't this the one? I've met someone who satisfied me beyond my wildest dreams. I've met someone who's been able to meet me at the very core of every problem I've ever had. Do you know who this could be? Is not this the Christ? She evangelized. You know, that woman won more people to Christ. She hadn't even got to the stage where she was born again because Christ hadn't even risen from the dead. You know, I just think, wow, when people have an encounter with Jesus, it's permanent. And if we've had an encounter with Jesus, maybe it's got theological. Maybe it's got ecumenical. Maybe it's got churchified. Maybe it's got Christianized. Maybe we need to take another drink. Maybe we need to constantly renew our acquaintance with Jesus. Maybe we sort of come to this place. And I'm telling you, we came around that table today. That could not have been more perfect as a preceding start to this message, that this Jesus, we want to worship him. We want to encounter him. We want to touch him. We want him to touch us. If that's your prayer, and if that's your heart, and if that's your cry, and you need to be satisfied, look to him. Look to him. Look to him. Can we pray? Holy Spirit, once again, reveal Jesus to us, I pray. That's your job. And we release you to do your job in our lives and in our hearts. To open our lives to the truth of this amazing King of Glory who came and gave his life for us. And whatever he has available for us, your job is to reveal it to us. We're listening. We're open. We want that. We want our lives to be touched by the water of life that Jesus alone can give. That it'll be in us springing up. That it'll be in us satisfying our every need and every craving and every desire beyond anything this world can give us. But more than that, as we know Jesus more and more, we want that to turn and develop into a river of life, to touch those around us, to touch our families, to touch other lives with the incredible, ever-living water that you provide for us. We're in your hands. I've got to ask, do you know Jesus? Have you asked him to fill your life? Have you taken a drink? Have you said, Jesus, I need you. I need that side of satisfaction. I need that level of inner life that just satisfies every craving and requirement that I could have. I want to turn and follow you today. Tell him, just tell him, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to learn about you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to have an encounter with you regularly. I'm going to take a drink every day. And I'm going to get to know you more. More, more, and more. So that your life is flowing out of mine constantly. And I thank you for it. Amen.